It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside La Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Now here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio and ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, Jonathan Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Bulldogs coming off a 31-20 victory in Hattiesburg this past weekend. Good W for the Bulldogs. Excellent second half. Beautiful jerseys. Beautiful day. Southern Miss fans walking out really, really early. What more can be said? A couple of sponsors, Jared.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7 is brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Join the conversation. Give us a call on the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners hotline, 888-993-7762. That's 888-993-7762. Or you can use the hashtag BTB Radio on Twitter, and we will answer your questions on the air.
Big W, 31-20, like I said. Another slow start for the Bulldogs. I'm sure we'll talk a lot about the slow start during this hour and a half. 6:30, we will talk to somebody from the Western Kentucky Rivals.com site, so stay tuned to that one. That's, of course, Tech's opponent Saturday in the homecoming game inside the Joe. Beautiful weather forecasted for that one.
Yeah, the 89th annual homecoming game for Louisiana Tech. Tech's won 6 of its last 7 homecoming games. Lost last year to North Texas 28-13, but before that had won 6 in a row. And listen to this. I discovered this earlier. In 2012, of course, Louisiana Tech was already bowl eligible at that point. But before that, you can go back, I believe it was 16 years before you can find a team, a Louisiana Tech team, bowl eligible or with a win can be bowl eligible at homecoming.
Random stats.
Well, what I'm saying is that there has not, that this homecoming game is very important for Louisiana
Tech. There's a lot riding on it
because of the bowl eligibility, but also because you get another opportunity to get your fans in the stadium. You're playing Western Kentucky for the first time since 1972 when they played for the Division II National Championship. Lots of stuff.
There's a lot of buzz, I think, around this game, which is a good thing. 2 o'clock kickoff. High of 61, isn't that right? I think.
I believe so.
Low of in the 40s. I mean, bring a jacket, even at 2 o'clock. You could not have forecasted in July a better temperature for homecoming. So there's no reason not to have 23,000 people in the stands.
And you know, though we do not, and it's not basketball season yet, and though we do not do a whole...
It's close, 2 weeks.
We don't have a lot of Lady Texters coverage on this show. Hang around afterwards, 7 o'clock, Tyler Summit, Lady Texters will play in the Thomas Assembly Center against Mississippi College in an exhibition game. First opportunity to see some of those... to see Tyler Summit, you know, coaching in action. Opportunity to build a little buzz around that program going into his first season here at Louisiana Tech.
Definitely. I would recommend everybody checking that one out. Tyler Summit is an intense fella. I've never seen a coach as intense as Tyler Summit is, and that will be something to watch. Let's go a little bit into these Louisiana Tech Southern Miss statistics. Early on, like we said, Tech had a really slow start. Coach Holtz yesterday, He took some of the pressure of the slow starts on himself, saying that he's been leaning on his defense early and trying to get a feel for what the opposing defenses are doing before he opens up the playbook, and to keep turnovers from happening and making sure that the defense isn't put in some precarious positions, because he knows that they're very good. So I thought that was an interesting point. But Jared, you found a stat about the third quarter for Louisiana Tech. They're leading the nation in scoring. With how many points was that?
They're leading the nation in scoring margin right now in the third quarter. They've outscored opponents in the third quarter by 70 points. Louisiana Tech has scored 97 points. It's held its opponents to 27 points in the third quarter. And I've said this a number of times, and I said it again after the Southern Miss game on the First National Bank postgame call-in show over on 107.5. Louisiana Tech has made some great second half adjustments. They go in at halftime, they make adjustments, and in the second half, that offense comes out looking totally different. And that is the reason why I take what Skip Holtz said at yesterday's press conference at face value, and I do believe what he's saying when he says that he starts off these games maybe more conservative than he should, but he's trying to get a feel for that for the opposing defense so that he can put his offense in the best position to win. And that's certainly, I feel as though, is true. In the first quarter, Louisiana Tech has scored only 24 points, which has not been very good. They their opponents are scoring 38, which is really, it's the second lowest scoring quarter that they're allowing, with the third quarter being the lowest. But 38 points in the first for opponents, so they're falling behind a little bit in these games. But in the second quarter, they're scoring 70 points. So they're making changes in the second quarter, being able to get some offense. But in the third quarter, 97, and the fourth, 72. 97 points in the third quarter, leading the country in scoring margin in the third quarter, 70 points.
There's no doubt in my mind that this staff is really good at second half adjustments. And Coach Holtz, he spread the love on the those second half adjustments yesterday in his press conference, talking about how veteran his coaches are. Even whenever you look at Joe Sloan, who's a young guy, but he's been around the game for a long time and he's a smart guy. And then Tim Rattay, who may be in only his second year of college coaching, but let's not forget about his career in the NFL. Ronnie Bradford, same deal. He coached in the NFL and played in the NFL. Then all the other coaches that have so much college experience. I thought that was huge, that you look at the staff and how good they've been at second half adjustments. I don't know if I've ever seen a Tech team make the second half adjustments that he has. I know Jack Bicknell, he never did.
Well, that's something that I'm not sure that was as evident maybe with Sonny Dykes and the previous staff, just because of I don't know how fast that team was able to score. I guess particularly the last year that I have in mind is 2012, which was, you know, one of the best offenses in the country, one of the highest scoring offenses in the country. You really don't have to make a whole lot of second half adjustments whenever you're up by 25 and, you know, at halftime. And so but this staff is doing an excellent job, particularly on offense. I know he did spread the wealth to his coaching staff, and you mentioned primarily offensive coaches, but it's the offense that's made adjustments. And Cody Sokol has looked like a different quarterback in the second half as well. Sokol's having a much better game. He was dang near perfect against Southern Miss in the second half. He went 14 of 18 for over 250 yards in the second half alone.
And you talk about the third quarter, them outscoring opponents by 70 points. In the second quarter, they're 70-47.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's not as though there's any quarter where they're really failing, except for in the fourth. They're being outscored by opponents 95-72, which you might say is a lot of points to give up in the fourth quarter, but you've got to remember who's been playing in the fourth quarter.
It's skewed because of the ULL game, the North Texas game, when they're
even Southern Miss got a late fourth quarter touchdown as well. And UTSA scored 10 points in the fourth quarter. It is skewed because of these garbage time touchdowns that the defense is allowing.
But what those garbage time touchdowns are doing is giving the second string valuable time on the field. Saturday against Southern Miss, when you look at the receiving statistics for Tech, Kenneth Dixon led everybody with 6 catches for 124 yards. That was because they stopped him running. They said, Louisiana Tech, we know you like to run the football. We're going to stop your workhorse and Kenneth Dixon. And they held him to less than 3 yards a carry.
And Louisiana Tech as a team only had 30 rushing yards on 26 attempts, so there wasn't a whole lot there. But just like you mentioned, if you stop Kenneth Dixon in the run, he's going to be able to beat you in the pass. Kenneth Dixon with an 84-yard catch touchdown in that game.
That's something I don't think Tech has done a great job of thus far, is getting Kenneth Dixon involved in the passing game. Saturday, they had to, because their lone experienced receiver playing was sophomore Trent Taylor.
Right. Yeah. And now that Hunter Lee is out for a few weeks, Trent Taylor is almost a veteran in the receiving corps.
Hunter Lee, of course, broke his collarbone against Southern Miss. Prayers are with him coming back from that injury. From what I understand, he had an emotional speech to the team at halftime. And the way that Trent Taylor played in the second half, I think he took it to heart. Those two guys are very, very close. But looking at those receiving statistics, we talked about Kenneth Dixon leading everybody. Marlon Watts, true freshman, 5 catches for 72 yards. Showed his ability to stretch the field and even on a jump ball go up and get it.
For a long time there, Marlon Watts was the only receiver that wasn't dropping passes that were hitting him in the hands.
He's going to be a special player. Trent Taylor, 5 catches for 68 yards. Paul Turner, not 100% quite yet. Coach believes he could be this week. 4 catches for 43 yards. Marcus Gaines, 4 catches for 39 yards. Carlos Henderson, 2 catches for 57 yards and a beautiful catch in the end zone for a touchdown. And Hunter Lee, 1 for 20. This offense is young.
Oh, no doubt about it. And Cody Sokol, 423 passing yards, new career high. But
27 for 46. I wish we knew the exact number of drops. There's at least 6 to 7.
Yeah,
so let's call it 34 or 46.
Right, I can count right now, just thinking back about on 2 hands how many drops I can remember, undoubtedly, and that's without going back and watching the game.
So then he's close to 500 at that point.
Absolutely.
Yards passing.
Right. Absolutely. No doubt about it. And three touchdowns.
No interceptions
is the biggest deal. That's what I was going to get at. No interceptions, a QBR of over 150 for the second half. I mean, Cody Sokol had a great game in the second half. And the wide receivers were making plays in the second half. And I thought on Carlos Henderson's 29-yard touchdown catch to put him up 24-13. That drive started with a Paul Turner third down conversion when he drug a defender 4 or 5 yards, converted the third down into a first down. Carlos Henderson with an 18-yard catch, and then Carlos Henderson again with a 29-yard catch. Having those two men on the field at the same time was
a mismatch.
It creates a mismatch on one side of the field or the other, and you've got an opportunity to take advantage of that. And both of those guys are extremely quick. On the 84-yard touchdown catch for Kenneth Dixon, Paul Turner was the only one that actually caught up to him as he was running down the sideline with him to make blocks. I mean, Paul Turner, if they would have kept on running, Paul Turner would have passed him. And Kenneth Dixon's not slow by any means. Paul Turner is not necessarily regarded as a really fast receiver, but we've always called him quick. But I think he's faster than I gave him credit for.
Oh, without a doubt. He is much faster than we gave him credit for. And don't forget about Connor Smith on that play. Connor was running with him as well, throwing
huge
some blocks.
Block. Yeah, he had a huge block that opened that up. That 84-yard touchdown catch for Kenneth Dixon made him the only player in the NCAA so far this season to have a touchdown run of 80-plus yards and a touchdown catch of 80-plus yards.
Give us your calls on your thoughts about Southern Miss, your thoughts about the homecoming game against Western Kentucky Saturday inside the Joe. Give us your call on the Keller Williams Parish-wide Partners Hotline, 888-993-7762. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get to a caller on the Keller Williams Parish-wide Partners Hotline.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7, brought to you by Keller Williams Parish-wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Join us on the Keller Williams Parish-wide Partners Hotline, 888-993-7762. That's 888-993-7762.
Let's go to those phone lines with our friend Donald. Donald, what's going on, my man?
Hey, guys. How y'all doing this evening?
Doing good.
Well, I'm just wondering, what is our statistics as far as the third quarter is going? We just have to be tearing it up in the third quarter, but we're not really getting it going in the first of the game. But I just want to know y'all's thoughts on that.
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about that a little bit in the beginning of the show, and the second half or the halftime adjustments by the coaching staff absolutely have the third quarters looking a little skewed. And Coach Holtz, he made a comment yesterday that both Jared and I agree with, that he's been a little conservative and maybe a little too conservative in the first quarter, knowing that his defense is there and they've been playing really well, so he can lean on them early and get his feet wet and realize what they're trying to do defensively, what the other team's trying to do defensively to stop them, so they can dial up the plays to that work best against that defense. So that's it seems logical to me. I don't have really any other way to look at it, because I don't think it's that Cody Sokol's not a good quarterback, because he shows that he is.
Right.
Cody, he made some comments about it yesterday that he thinks that maybe they're not as mentally prepared as they need to be. That could be part of it. So you may have some guys not doing enough homework during the week, and with guys like Cody Sokol and Houston Bates, I think that'll change as the season goes on. But luckily, the defense has kept them in really every game this season.
Yeah, obviously we're glad to see the team win and do well. I just know we really can't afford to have those slow starts against West Kentucky being such a high-powered offense, and then if we make it to the championship game against Marshall.
Oh, without a doubt. Those are two very high-powered offenses, and we'll definitely get into some Western Kentucky talk later in the show. We appreciate your phone call, my friend.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Donald. You can join the show just like Donald did on the Parish Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners Hotline, 888-993-7762. Let's hear from you, your thoughts on Louisiana Tech, whether it's about Southern Miss, Western Kentucky, the weather Saturday, homecoming.
The White Helmets,
which were phenomenal. I wish that we could see them every single day.
I do too. I really do. 1967 was the last time they wore them. Before this past weekend,
Patrick Walsh yesterday at the press conference said that before white helmets, get this, Louisiana Tech had silver helmets.
Really?
With some kind of a stripe down the middle of the helmet and two stars in the front. Whoever came up with that design, sorry, pal. Not good.
Maybe that's the reason why we've never heard of it.
I do remember that Tech had stars in the end zone. So that was probably a carryover from those atrocious helmets.
Louisiana Tech's defense, getting back to something of what Donald said, he was mentioning that Louisiana Tech can't afford to fall behind against a high-powered offense. Well, that is true, certainly so, and I'm not arguing that point at all. I totally agree, but over the last five games, Tech's defense has registered a minimum of 8 tackles for a loss. They're now 10th in the country with 60 tackles for a loss for a combined 230 yards this season. 13 against Southern Miss for the loss of 49, 11 against UTSA for a loss of 40, 11 against UTEP for a loss of 55, 8 against Auburn for a loss of 31, and 8 against Northwestern State for a loss of 19, 4 against North Texas, 5 against ULL, none against Oklahoma. But 10th in the country now in tackles for a loss, and that's exactly what I preached from the time we found out that Manny Diaz was even being thought about, brought in, was that particularly in the first year of Manny Diaz defenses, you see two things immediately. You see points off of turnovers, and you see tackles for loss. Louisiana Tech in the top 10 in the country in both of those categories now. Still first in the country in points off of turnovers with 89. And I think that I would be remiss not to mention right now that Western Kentucky has allowed 54 points off of turnovers this season. They've turned the ball over 13 times so far this season. The only other team that was close to those numbers that Louisiana Tech has played is UTSA. UTSA had allowed quite a few points off of turnovers as well. Louisiana Tech took that opportunity to go ahead and score 24 more off of them.
We do have a question on Twitter. You can tweet us hashtag BTB Radio from Casey saying, what does Tech need to do to run the ball more effectively? I think having a consistent lineup in the front five would help immensely. Sliding Mitchell Bell from right tackle to right guard. I think that Mitchell Bell really is a guard. Tech just doesn't have a right tackle right now.
Right, I agree.
So he's the best option at right tackle. Joseph Brunson plays is a good right tackle. Kirby Wixon's a good center. Trey Carter has really come around at left guard. They're struggling at the tackle position. Darryl Brown isn't playing well. He's lost some weight during the season, and he didn't have a whole lot of weight to lose for that position. So I think that's really where they're struggling is on the edges. So they're not able to seal the edge, and there's a lot of pressure coming in from that direction. So that's why Tech has to put the tight end out there. And without Hunter Lee this week, I think that might be their starting lineup. Now, granted, in this multiple offense, starting lineups are almost irrelevant. They're gonna show so many different formations that it doesn't matter what the starting lineup is. But I think we may see more of Gaston this week than we have thus far.
I could totally agree with that. And imagine what this offense would look like with this a little bit of a shuffle at offensive line without Josh Gaston at tight end, and how well he's played so far this season. Because Ricky Jones and Josh Gaston have both had big impacts on this team, particularly along that offensive line, and they're just not being talked about. And it's not because they're not doing their job. It's because they are doing their job. Because when they're not doing their job is when we're going to be talking about them, because opposing defenses will be able to get into the backfield and make stops. And it's not as though Louisiana Tech has been terrible rushing the football this year.
They were Saturday.
And I attribute most of that to the shuffle at offensive line, to Jens Danielsen being at right tackle, Mitchell Bell being at right guard, and then Joseph Brunson, of course, being out.
And Southern Miss loading the box and saying, we're going to stop your run.
Yeah, and no doubt about it. They absolutely did that. And also, Skip Holtz mentioned this in his press conference yesterday, or it could have been right after the game.
Either one, it's still relevant.
They were not prepared for how much Southern Miss was twisting and stunting at the line of scrimmage as a defensive line, because they had not done that to this point of the season. So they have made stopping Kenneth Dixon a priority, and because when a
defensive line stunts, the offensive line can't get their hands on them immediately to push.
Sure,
and
sure.
That's why getting push in a running game whenever they're stunning.
If you would like to learn what that looks like when it's performed well, watch Louisiana Tech's defensive line against some of these previous opponents, because Louisiana Tech's defensive line has been able to push back the offensive line 2 or 3 yards in most of these games right off of the snap, because they stunt a lot. And But yeah, Kenneth Dixon, going into that game, Kenneth Dixon was averaging over 90 yards a game. He had 41 against Southern Miss, and it brought his average down. He's still averaging 85 a game, still got 14 touchdowns on the season, 10 rushing, and still has nearly 700 yards rushing so far this season.
I think it's interesting that the defenses have come out with schemes that they haven't done all year every time Louisiana Tech plays them. It happened against UTSA. They went more man.
Correct.
Southern Miss. Against Southern Miss. We've heard, and then UTEP, it didn't seem like they blitzed like they have since and before. Now, it didn't work too well for them. They lost 55-3. But I find it really interesting that teams are coming out with different schemes for Louisiana Tech. I don't know what to attribute it to. It's not, they haven't been really dynamic offensively.
I think it's maybe you could consider, or you could chalk part of it up to the fact that Louisiana Tech has really shown a proficiency in being able to overcome whatever it is that you're taking away as a defense with their offense. They've been able to, I mean, Cody Sokol has played really well in games where they've stopped Kenneth Dixon, a la Saturday against Southern Miss. So Kenneth Dixon has done a great job when the passing game has been down.
And you talk about teams that are wanting to stop Kenneth Dixon. It's not like Tech's running game has been awesome
so far this year. No, but
their rush offense is 99th in the country.
Right, but when you look at Kenneth Dixon on tape, and when you look at his history and his career, you certainly can't overlook him when you're game planning defensively. You have to take into account Kenneth Dixon and his ability to change plays at any given time. I mean, Kenneth Dixon can break one, just like he did against Southern Miss Saturday. That 84-yard run, it was nothing more than he just dropped down into their zone. I mean, there was no one in front of him. There was no one behind him. And he made a play.
Let's go back to the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners Hotline with EJ in Houston. EJ, how's it going, my man?
It's going great. I want to give a shout-out to the team for fighting hard on Saturday. They never gave up, and they looked great doing it in those white helmets.
Well, I completely agree. You know that.
I'm kind of concerned a little bit about Western Kentucky and their passing attack, I think. You know, we like to Manny Diaz likes to live by the blitz, and I'm kind of concerned if with a sharp quarterback that we're going to get burned a few times.
I think that they, with the safeties, that's going to help. They haven't given up many big plays in the passing game outside of Auburn. But I think it's a valid concern. There's no doubt. He's Dowdy, Doty, however you say it. He's a senior quarterback. He's seen it all. And the middle of the field, to me, was a concern against Southern Miss. I didn't expect the middle of the field to have been that open for them. Holtz, of course, addressed it yesterday in the press conference, said they've got to sharpen up some technique. And he talked specifically about the pass over the middle that went right by Tony Johnson's ear. Probably should have been a pick, but it wasn't. There's concern with this game Saturday. How good is Louisiana Tech's passing defense? We'll find out then.
We sure will, and I want to remind everybody that Western Kentucky's primary color is red, so I want to encourage all of our fans to be in their best blue outfit on Saturday.
Tech fans wear blue, right?
That's right.
Thanks, EJ.
All right, take care.
That's a good point.
That is a good point.
The red out has been a good thing and a bad thing all at the same time.
Well, blue has encouraged some fans to wear red, even when it's not the red out. The Louisiana Tech's Twitter accounts, or multiple Twitter accounts, really have been tweeting all day long, and so far all week long, really, that Tech fans wear blue and have been using the hashtag wear blue and have reminded everyone to wear blue for this Saturday's game.
Good stuff. We'll, after this break, we'll talk to the Western Kentucky Rivals.com site, getting a little hilltopper angle on Saturday's matchup inside the Joe. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Such a pleasant stay. Well, welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get to Shane Bearden on the phone lines.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7 brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Join us just as Shane has on the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners hotline at 888-993-7762. That's 888-993-7762.
Let's go to Shane Bearden from inside hilltoppersports.com. How's it going, my friend?
Doing good.
Good deal, man. Just talk about a little bit of what you're expecting Saturday from this game.
I expect about to be like any other Hilltopper game. Expect a shootout, a lot of points put up on the scoreboard. A lot of defensive errors, so, you know, your fans can rest assured that Louisiana Tech will score some points on Saturday.
Is Western Kentucky's defense that bad?
It's pretty bad. In the years I've been following Western football, this is probably the worst since our transition year in which they went 0-12. Luckily, the offense has been good enough to kind of, you know, eke out a couple wins.
When you look at defensively from Western Kentucky's opponents, who would you say was the best passing defense that Western has faced this far?
I would probably say Navy, just for the simple fact that the Navy runs a very disciplined type of set plays and defensive strategy on both sides of the ball, really. But, you know, they did a good job of sitting back in coverage, kind of forcing Western to beat them on the ground a little bit. Western's offense, while it gets tons of praise for the air raid attack, they also, you know, have a couple guys on the ground that can get the job done, and Leon Allen and Ace Wells. Ace Wells is kind of a change of pace back, real shifty guy with speed, and Leon Allen is that big bruising back, but he also has a little bit of speed to him as well. So both of those guys, you know, kind of help, you know, offset Dowdy so teams can't just, you know, specifically defend the pass.
I'm glad we got that housekeeping out of the way so that we didn't have to ask. It's Dowdy and not Doty.
Correct.
But Louisiana Tech defensively, I mean, let's be honest, that's where this game's going to be won. Somebody's going to have to make a stop to win this game. Defensively, Louisiana Tech's going to put a lot of pressure on the quarterback, and they're going to depend on their corners and their safeties to stop the pass. They're going to show some blitz, and they're going to fall back into coverage. How aggressive of defenses has Western played this season?
A lot of teams have actually tried to blitz a lot, but actually the strength of Western's offense is their offensive line. They have a lot of experience on the offensive line. You know, we lost a couple guys last year, but those guys that we lost were out injured for a big portion of the year. So guys that are playing this year are guys that got a lot of playing time last year and have been backups for a couple years now. So, you know, they have a lot of experience together. They're a solid unit. So they've kept Dowdy off his back this year. If Dowdy has time in the backfield to read the defense, he can pick apart any team.
Would you say that that Western may try to get rid of the ball quickly, or are they not afraid to max protect so that he can throw the ball downfield?
They mix it up. They like to get out with the quick slant passes and the quick passes out to the flat to get the receivers in open position. That's one thing, you know, this season that Western hasn't had is a lot of athletic receivers, guys that can make defenders miss. So anytime they can get those guys out in space, whether it's short passes or, you know, trying to throw it over the top, Western's not afraid to do either one.
You look at the over-under that came out from Vegas. It opened at 72. It's down to 70.5. So they're agreeing with you that it's going to be pretty high scoring.
That may be a little low.
Well, when you
the 70.5, I'd take the over on that.
If you look at, but you compared them to, you said that the Navy game would be the closest to the team that's been able to stop the pass. Louisiana Tech, Louisiana Tech's defensive numbers in the passing game, they're not too shabby. Whenever you look at the teams they play with Oklahoma and Auburn, they're still not. You still even got those games that are skewed, and their pass defense is ranked 58th in the country, and their pass efficiency defense is 38th in the country. So that's obviously not too shabby. That's probably where they're getting that number, that 70 over under. Could I see it being over? Probably. But what do you see as, if you were to predict a final score, what would you say?
I'd say probably around 42-40, somewhere around that range. I think it's going to be a tight game. You know, I think it'll be low 40s for both teams. You know, Western's defense, as bad as they are, for some reason they end up making some type of big play somewhere or another and scoring a couple of touchdowns this year. You know, they can make some big plays, but they give up the big plays, which is why teams are able to score on the top as well. But I've seen a lot of offensive teams, and Western's offense this year is one of the best I've covered, one of the best I've seen. I don't see anybody being able to stop them. Teams can contain them to an extent, but you know, Western's going to score their points regardless of who they're playing.
When you look back to the UAB game and the Florida Atlantic game, what were they able to do to slow down Western Kentucky's offense?
Honestly, they were able to put pressure on the quarterback, not give Dowdy enough time to, you know, read the defenses. And also, both of those games, you know, the running game, while it was still somewhat efficient, you know, they didn't have huge running plays throughout the game. So, you know, I think in order for Western to be successful, they do require, you know, a balanced attack and at least some contributions from the running game in order to keep defenses honest.
Was it a surprise this past weekend in first year FBS football, Old Dominion coming into Bowling Green and giving Western Kentucky everything they wanted?
A little bit, but at the same time, you know, I know Heineke's a good quarterback. You know, he's I mean, he's one of the best in Conference USA, you know, with Cato, and you know, I put Sokol up there as well. So, I mean, you know, I knew that they were going to be able to pass the ball on us. From hearing it, you know, coaches' press conferences and the players' talk in the week leading up to the game, you thought the defense might have maybe turned the corner a little bit, but obviously it still leaves a little something to be desired.
So what matchups do you see Western Kentucky having the biggest advantage Saturday in Ruston?
Honestly, I would say the wide receivers on the outside. You know, I know Tech has a very good defense, but you know, it's so hard to defend Western's passing game for the simple fact that Dowdy spreads the wealth around so much. You never know which receiver is going to go off and have the big game or have the 20 catches. You know, there's been a couple times this year where guys have just gone nuts with catching the ball, and he'll go to them early and often. So, you know, you never know which guy's gonna go off, and it's really hard to game plan for that.
We really appreciate you coming joining us here on the radio show. Just talk about where people can find your work.
Just go to InsideHilltopperSports.com, WKU.Rivals.com, and I'll have a game preview posted up later this week with my full prediction and a little bit of breakdown.
Shane, we really appreciate you joining us here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Shane Bearden joining us on the Keller Williams Parish Wide Partners Hotline, talking a little Western Kentucky, Louisiana Tech football. He thinks this is going to be a close one.
Well, he mentioned that the teams that have been able to have success against Western Kentucky, namely FAU and UAB, were able to get
world beaters.
Well,
sorry, that was a really smart aleck response.
Well, they were able to get pressure on the quarterback. And isn't that what Louisiana Tech does? Don't they get pressure on the quarterback? Now, I'm not necessarily saying that it shows up in the sack numbers, because it hasn't, as far as I'm concerned, and I'll be the first to say it. I've been a little disappointed with the sack numbers for Louisiana Tech so far this season. And Western Kentucky's got a guy on their team, Brian Shorter, on that defensive line that's got 4.5 sacks this season. They've got another kid, Brian Holt, a linebacker, with 69 tackles so far this season, 4.5 tackles for loss. So their defense gets after the quarterback a little bit, but the defenses that were able to get after Brandon Dowdy have been the ones that beat the Hilltoppers, and I think that will be the case once again this weekend.
When you look at how bad this Western Kentucky defense is, I really don't even think that can be stressed enough. It's really bad.
Yeah, this defense has given up 41 points a game. They're giving up over 5 yards per rush. They're giving up 240 rushing yards a game. They're giving up 307 passing yards a game. I mean, they've been – goodness, I mean, it's almost appalling. They're giving up 550 yards of offense.
Their offense and their defense are completely polar opposites.
Well, you'll actually – for
total offense, they're fifth in the country. Total defense, they're 124th out of – 128 or 125?
Yeah, 127, I think. 127 or 128. What's crazy, though, is that if you go actually read these statistics, that offense is getting 550 yards a game. The defense is allowing 550 yards a game. The offense is getting 6.8 yards per play. The defense is allowing 6.8 yards per play. The offense is getting 9 yards per pass. The defense is giving up 9.5 yards per pass.
The one thing that I'll say about this game Saturday is no lead that Tech can have will ever feel like enough.
I could agree with that, because it's going to be difficult if you fall behind. If you fall behind against this team especially, it'll be difficult. Western Kentucky scored 81 points in the first. But listen to this. The first quarter, Western Kentucky scored 81 points. Second quarter, they've scored 104. Second half, 66 and 55. It's because they've got comfortable leads and they've kind of slowed down. But 81.
But they really haven't blown anyone out outside of Bowling Green in game one.
Right. Now, that's true. That's absolutely true, because every game they play turns into a shootout, and fortunately for the Hilltoppers, their offense has been able to score 4 more points than that defense has given up. Their defense has given up 41 points per game.
Let's take this break. Other side of the break, we'll give some more thoughts on Louisiana Tech Western Kentucky here on ESPN Radio 97.7 Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Crazy. welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7, where my man John is on point with the tunes.
Steve Miller Band, I know this song. I do. I like Steve Miller Band a lot. I grew up, my dad was a Steve Miller Band fan.
So actually, how many times can you say Steve Miller Band in 30 seconds?
There's nothing wrong with saying Steve Miller Band. It's the name of the band, for crying out loud. Why wouldn't I say the name of the band?
I could. Couple of sponsors, Jared.
Of course, of course. Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7 is brought to you by the Steve Miller Band. Keller Williams Parish Wife Partners, right. National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Join us on the Keller Williams Parish Wife Partners Hotline, 888-993-7762. That's 888-993-7762. Use the hashtag BTB Radio on Twitter. We'll answer your questions on the air.
Yes, we talked about how Skip Holtz has been conservative in his offensive play calling early on. I think it's going to happen again Saturday, and I think he should.
I agree.
How do you stop a high-powered offense? Or let's think about back to the 2012 with Louisiana Tech with that high-powered offense. How do teams stop it? Play keep away.
You have to play keep away, and that's exactly what I think Louisiana Tech will do. Western Kentucky is 3-4 on the season, and they're scoring 81 per game in the first quarter. Well, they're scoring 81 in the first quarter, which is good for nearly 11, a little over 11.5 points per game in the first quarter, whereas Louisiana Tech is scoring 3. So the best way to keep from falling behind against a high-powered offense is to keep the ball away from them, and I think that's what they're going to do. In wins, again, in their wins so far this season, Western Kentucky, in Bowling Green, Navy, Old Dominion, and every one of those games, they were outrushed, except for Old Dominion. That was the best rushing effort that Western Kentucky's had. But in their wins, they've been outrushed. In their losses, they've been outrushed. This Western Kentucky team cannot stop the run. And
guess how many yards Navy had. Now, granted, that's what Navy does.
Right, yeah, that's what Navy does, which is why I didn't read it, but it was a little over 400.
412 yards rushing, 7.9 yards a rush.
Which is actually,
they threw the ball 15 times. Why do they throw it 15 times?
You know, that stat may sound like it's skewed because that's what Navy does. But look, this Western Kentucky defense has given up over 5 yards per rush. They're giving up over 240 yards rushing per game.
Why did Navy throw the ball 15 times? They threw an interception.
They wanted to change it up a little. I don't know. I mean, Navy runs the ball, and they did pretty dang good at it. They did throw the ball 15 times for 55 yards.
With one interception.
With an interception. I don't know.
I guess it was Casey on Twitter, asked what Tech's got to do to run the ball more effectively. They need to write that before we talk about this conservative play caller. They've got to fix what happened Saturday. Now, granted, Southern Miss was not great at stopping the run. They weren't this bad.
Correct. Yeah, they weren't as bad as this Western Kentucky defensive line that you're going to see on Saturday.
And what Tech proved Saturday, stack the box against us, and we're going to throw it. And we're going to prove to you that we can throw it.
And they did.
Tech can't get in a shootout, though. That being said, Tech can't get into a shootout against Western Kentucky.
I understand where you're coming from, and I do agree that they can't get into a shootout with Western Kentucky just because of how high-powered Western Kentucky's offense is. But look, every game Western Kentucky has played has been a shootout. Every game they've played has been a shootout, maybe outside of Bowling Green. They beat Bowling Green 59-31. 42-34 lost to Illinois. 50-47.
I wouldn't call the Navy game a shootout at 36-27.
Okay. That's the only one.
That's
the only one. Because that defense.
And Illinois 34-42.
That Western Kentucky team scoring 45 a game, having the second best passing offense in the country, the fifth best total offense in the country, that team should be beating these teams that they've played. Bowling Green, Middle Tennessee, Navy, UAB, FAU, Old Dominion. Illinois is not a very good football team either. They should have beaten these teams by 21 points a game. And they're not, because that defense, just like Shane said, is maybe the worst defense that team has fielded since they joined FBS.
And they haven't been FBS very long.
True. So maybe that's not saying a whole lot for the Hilltoppers.
You look at we talked about this, you and I did texting this about this today. They haven't played really anybody.
No, outside of what you might call Illinois, which you might say Illinois is their best game, and they lost that one.
Bowling Green's their best W.
Yeah, Bowling Green is their best W, which is not saying much either.
And it was at home.
In the first game of the season.
I'm looking at their schedule right now. They played 4 of their first 6 on the road. What a brutal schedule. They'll play 3 of their last 4 at home. 3 of their last 5 at home. All right, but, while we're at it, 4 of their last 6.
But in those games, they still have to play Marshall, UTSA, UTEP, who beat UTSA and held UTSA to 70 total offensive
UTSA's
yards.
UTSA's mailed it in.
Oh, it's done. And that fan base is done, too, but we'll get to that at the end.
Yeah, we'll get into that next segment. Let's do some Conference USA talk in the next segment. I don't know exactly what to expect from this game. I think Tech does open up and goes conservative early on. Can Tech's defense get pressure on Dowdy with the veteran offensive line? I think that answer's yes.
I agree. I think it is, especially with Vontarius Dora being back.
The freak. I sat behind his family Saturday inside the Rock. I asked them what they call him. Care to guess what his nickname is? The radio waves need to know this.
I have no idea.
Vontarius Dora's nickname, ladies and gentlemen, is Moo Moo.
That's not what I expected at all.
This needs to catch on.
That's not what I expected at all.
Moo Moo.
Wow.
That's from his mom and his sisters.
Wow.
You can thank me later, Vontarius. The whole world knows that your nickname is Moo Moo now. But like I said, I don't know exactly what to expect Saturday. One random note, one of Western Kentucky's leading receivers, he may be, for all I know, the leading receiver, Dangerfield. Jared Dangerfield was recruited by Louisiana Tech in 2012. Something, I don't know if he got hurt and couldn't come out in the 2012 class. He came out in the 2013 class out of a junior college, Fort Scott, I believe, if memory serves me correctly. So he's now at Western Kentucky. I remember he came to a basketball game, sat courtside with Quentin Patton.
Speaking of the receiving core, it is interesting to note that 12 different receivers have caught a pass from Dowdy and 7 different receivers have caught a touchdown from Dowdy. Dangerfield, of course, does lead with 5. He has 5 touchdowns, 444 yards receiving.
And he's a big body receiver. I have a little concern with Dangerfield. He's 6'3", about 200 pounds. He's not a burner.
Taywan Taylor has 482 yards, 4 touchdowns.
And Shane mentioned that they lack some athleticism at receiver. They're not going to beat – they don't have a whole lot of ability to make you miss. And that is what he said, right?
Yeah, that is what he said. He did say that, and most of those receivers are about 6'1", 190 with the exception of Dangerfield.
So you got a lot of possession guys, which isn't a bad thing.
No, certainly not, especially
if you run
a good
route, you're going to be open against everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you've got a quarterback that likes to spread around the wealth like Dowdy does, lots of possession guys to make to get some possessions.
Tech's going to sit in the zone defensively. They have all year.
I do want to refute one point. I want to refute one point that EJ made, and I love EJ. He's a great guy, and I have no problem with him whatsoever, but he said that Manny Diaz lives and dies by the blitz, and that's absolutely not true.
He shows it a lot.
He shows the blitz a lot, and this is what happens when you watch football, and most casual fans, they watch the football. They don't watch what everything else is going on, and so as soon as the ball is snapped, they're watching the quarterback. They're watching the quarterback hand it off or throw it to a wide receiver, and they're watching those make plays. They're following the ball wherever it is, and what they don't watch anymore is the offensive line and the defensive line and everything that's going on around that play to make it possible.
Now, I will say this. In EJ's defense, how often is Tech not sending at least one extra?
Oh, they're blitzing 5 bringing 5 quite a bit.
70% of the time.
I would say, okay,
maybe
80%. 75, 80%, that's fine. But what they show is
almost a jailhouse blitz.
Exactly. They're showing, oh, we're bringing everybody every play, and that's not true. Tony Johnson Mitch Villamez have
who played like a man possessed Saturday.
Absolutely.
Southern Miss.
He had a great game, but that linebacking core as a whole has had a great game. Really, when you looked at Louisiana Tech's defense, you thought the secondary would be great. You thought the defensive line should be good, especially with the addition of Houston Bates, and the question mark was it linebacker. Well, that question has been answered, and that linebacking core is pretty good. Tony Johnson and Villamez have both had great games, but what I wanted to point out was they've gotten pretty good at coming down and showing the blitz and then dropping back into coverage and being able to play coverage on these receivers and protect that middle of the field.
Oh, without a doubt. And the linebacking core has been really, to me, the surprise.
Absolutely.
Some discussion on BleedTechBlue.com this week that I found interesting, and I look forward to seeing how it plays out, is whether they'll move Lloyd Grogan to linebacker this spring. With the depth at safety.
And Lloyd Grogan's a hard hitter.
Lloyd Grogan played linebacker in high school.
He could be a Terrell Pinson at linebacker.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no doubt. He has the body type for it, for sure.
I'd love to see it. Let's take this break. Other side of the break, our friend Rafe will be joining us on the Keller Williams Parish White Partners Hotline. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. John, I hope you're not trying to say that Rafe's old playing this song. Are you saying Rafe's old?
I don't know. How old is Rafe?
I know.
You're in.
Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're in.
Hey, I can't hear his intro music. I love his stuff normally, but I'm 42, so what was he playing?
What are you playing, John?
The Boss.
Oh, Springsteen. Heck yeah. Well, you know, I like him and admire him, but really, apart from Born in the USA, I'm not familiar with this stuff. My dad kind of, you know, used to proclaim his genius, but, you know, I just took his word for it to take it true.
Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get to Rafe some more.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7 brought to you by Keller Williams Parish White Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Join us, just like friend of the show Rafe does every week, on the Keller Williams Parish White Partners hotline, 888-993-7762. That's 888-993-7762. Rafe, go ahead.
Do you have any concerns?
I am extremely concerned. And, you know, I could talk about, if we had time in the right forum, I could talk about this game for a long time, because it seems like they're most comfortable in the shootout, and they tend to lead teams in the shootout whatever way. I don't know how that happens with some teams, but they end up maybe the pace or whatever, the nature of how they score, kind of gets you into a score-for-score duel, and they've been in that every game except for maybe the Navy game, which they won anyway. So I'm concerned about it. I missed the first half. Are y'all as concerned as I am?
I've got some inklings of it. I'm not 100% concerned, but I see the reason for concern.
Rafe, had you started listening when Shane Bearden was on the show?
I did not catch him. I caught right after he got off. I heard y'all talking about that, but I didn't. What did he say?
Well, he mentioned how unathletic the wide receivers are for that Hilltopper offense, and most of them are possession receivers, granted. But he did talk about how just unable to really make big plays that wide receiving core is. But he did mention that, Leon Allen is not necessarily a bad running back. If you look at his stats, they're very similar to Kenneth Dixon's. And we said, you know, the Hilltoppers can run the ball, but unfortunately they cannot stop the run. And made mention of the fact that this Hilltopper defense may be the worst defense that he's seen the Hilltoppers field, at least since joining FBS.
Yeah, and our offense has then, you know, they can score, but I still think that we're going to have to get some stops and maybe create some turnovers to get comfortable in the game, because the bottom line is they're going to score some points, and that in and of itself affects the team. I mean, you can think about any game this year where we had some points scored on us, significant number of points. It changes the way we play, and those games are the games that we have not won. You know, we had some points scored on us in times when it doesn't really matter, but when I'm talking about, you know, where teams get up on us or they're able to score and we're trying to adjust to what they're doing, that's my concern. I do think the defense will force some turnovers, and I don't think they're going to, you know, get behind us or anything like that, but just their success and how we manage, you know, how we manage the game if they do put points on the board, and if we put too much pressure on ourselves, or what is our game plan to try to match big play for touchdown and things like that. But yeah, this is the type of game you want to play, because it's a measurement of where we are as a team. You know, good thing we get it at home, and if you don't win it, then you're just not good enough to win it. That's the bottom line.
Rafe, what I said earlier, probably before you were listening, was that no lead is going to seem big enough Saturday.
And looking at their past scores, I would agree. It's just what we've seen on defense. I mean, that, you know, what we put out there against Southern Miss, and you know, that was impressive, and it was impressive in, you know, more than one way. Not just, I mean, you know, not the fact that we get pressure on the quarterback, but you know, there, it was great against the run. It was good against the pass. It was just looked like the type of defense that that we've been longing for ever since 2011. And I'm most excited, to tell you the truth, to see how we stand up, how our defense stands up against their if we're just going to kind of do the bend but don't break thing, or we're going to get greedy and try to force them, you know, to give us the ball or bring it out, things like that.
Do you agree? I don't know if you heard me say this, but I think they should go start out the game conservative again and try to run the ball.
I don't think it. I really don't think it matters. I mean, as long as we're creative in how we run it, and because there are certain running plays that haven't seemed successful the last few weeks. But I'm not against running it. That's for sure. But and I think we can. I mean, if they said it's one of the worst defenses we're going to play against, then we ought to be able to run one on them, and that's a good way to control the clock a little bit, keep them off the field. So that would be a good game plan. But like I said, I think that we're going to be successful offensively for us. But the problem comes in is what if they match our offensive success with their success, and how does our defense react to that? That's the most disconcerting thing, and it's okay. I don't mind a little bit of anxiety. It makes it exciting. Hey, what do y'all think the crowd will look like on Saturday?
I said that with the weather, with the time of the kickoff, anything less than 23 will be disappointing.
That would be disappointing. Do you expect that many? I mean, I know it's going to be a cool day, you know, homecoming.
Maybe that's too optimistic. Let's say 20.
Yeah, how many did we officially have for NSU?
25, I believe. That was honestly pretty close.
Yeah, that was a really good crowd.
And then they officially announced last week or 2 weeks ago, which was very generous, 18. So I'm thinking over 20.
Yeah, me too. I mean, that 2:30 kickoff, I mean, the momentum we have, the fact 2 o'clock, I'm sorry, and the fact that we don't have any in-state, you know, interest happening at the same time helps us. All those things help us. So I'm hoping we'll get 23 out there. That would be great.
So,
it's the second to last home game. You typically, this game, if we're good, it's well attended. So
typically, well, even if when we hear you're concerned, your point prediction does not show that concern. Give it to us this week.
Well, I was wrong. You know, I was like, you have to keep that in mind. I've been wrong a lot of times, and I'm not good at it. I mean, I, think that I'm good at it, and then I remember the times I'm right, but I'm often wrong. I think that we're going to hold them to under four touchdowns. I'm going to give them 24 points, okay? And I really don't – look at every one of their games. There's not been one game decided by 10 points. I don't think they've all been almost within a score. So if we hold them to 24, then I'm going to give us 31, and we'll have one touchdown up on them.
I could get behind that.
I hope it's a rout. I mean, that's what I hope. But I mean, you know, that UTEP game, seeing how that becomes more impressive as the season wears on. But I don't know if that can happen again. But so 31-24, Dogs win, and we go on the road. You know, don't we go to UAB a week from Saturday?
I believe so.
And we go to UAB full of confidence, and hopefully we can keep it going.
Thanks, Rafe. Appreciate it like always.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Run through a little bit of Conference USA football before the segment is out. Do you have those scores pulled up?
Actually, I do not. I didn't. I love when Rafe comes on.
We'll fill the air while I find it.
I love when Rafe comes on, but I was not expecting him to fill the entire segment. And as he did, I just was listening and did not pull those up. But I do know from doing the show Saturday some of those scores and some of those numbers. UTEP and UTSA being the I guess most surprising. UTEP was able to go and was able to beat UTSA, hold them to 70 total yards of offense, shut them out, and only two first downs for the entire game for UTSA. Really, really poor performance from the Roadrunners and Larry Coker.
You're trying to fill it for me, and this page is not loading.
The internet is moving slow. That's funny.
There we are. UAB falls to Arkansas 45-17.
Which no one – that's not a surprise to anybody.
Rice beat North Texas by 20.
Quickly, before you get too far, Jordan Howard had over 100 yards rushing against that Arkansas defense.
Because he's good.
He is.
Southern Miss, of course, falls to Tech 31-20. Marshall all over – Florida Atlantic 35-16.
Listen to this. That game was led by FAU for a while there, and then in the third quarter, it was 16-14 FAU, and I basically talked myself into believing that FAU was going to go ahead and pull it out, and then Marshall went up 28-16, and then opened it up in the fourth quarter. But that game was a better game. That game, yeah, absolutely, because that FAU defense is pretty good,
and Marshall has played nobody.
Well, that's also true.
Western Kentucky, 66-51 over Old Dominion.
That game was 56-51 in the third quarter.
Like we were saying, Western Kentucky cannot play defense. The majority of this conference can't play defense.
Well, you know, Rafe made a point. He said that Western Kentucky maybe baits teams into playing shootouts. No, they don't. The defense just can't stop anybody.
But if you look at Louisiana Tech the year that here's what's funny. You look at Louisiana Tech in 2012 versus Western Kentucky of this year. Neither one of those teams could play defense.
No, those teams are very similar. Western Kentucky's offense does not score quite as fast as Louisiana Tech's offense did, but those teams
are
similar.
Thank you, Quentin Patton.
Right. Yeah.
UTEP 34-0 over UTSA. The Western Division is still... Huh? You heard that right. 34-0. UTSA has mailed it in.
Yeah,
and UTSA gave Coker an extension before the season. Whoops!
And not only is that team going to be bad for the rest of this year, but then you lose, you're just
35
like,
seniors.
You lose 35 seniors just like Tech did after 2012, and you're bad for two or three more years for sure.
So Marshall sits at 8-0 overall. Like I said, they haven't played anybody. Middle Tennessee 5-3 overall, 4-1 in the conference. They're second place in the East Division. Then it's muddy from third to last in the Eastern Division. 2-2 FIU, 2-2 UAB, 2-2 Florida Atlantic, 1-3 Western Kentucky, 1-4 Old Dominion. Then Tech 4-0 in the West Division, a game and a half up on Rice at 2-1. UTEP sits at 2-1. Southern Miss sitting at 1-3. UTSA at 1-3. And North Texas at the lowly 0-4. Rice has a tough ending schedule, which is Tech's nearest competition. They go to Florida Florida International, call that a loss. Florida International's playing pretty well right now.
And that defense is playing pretty well, and that Rice offense is not good.
Then they host UTSA. That's a W. Then they go to Marshall, another loss. They host UTEP. UTEP's playing really well right now. Will they still be playing well two games left in the season? Who knows?
Hard to tell, yeah. And then they come to Ruston.
That game could be for first place in the West Division. I think Tech has it clinched by then.
I think Tech has it clinched after this weekend. I think it's over after this weekend. I think
they won't mathematically have it clinched after this weekend.
I don't think there'll be any way Rice will come close after this weekend. After Tech moves on to 5-0 in conference play, and Rice is going to travel to FIU and lose, that'll put them at 2-2.
Tech's got a much easier schedule to finish out.
Oh, absolutely, no doubt.
They have three games to play. Rice has four.
Absolutely.
Let's take this break. Other side of the break, predictions on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared King joining me here. A couple of sponsors, my friend.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 7, brought to you by Keller Williams Parish Y Partners, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, and Dowling Smokehouse. Join us during this last segment on the Keller Williams Parish Y Partners hotline, 888-993-7762. 888-993-7762. Of course, you can use the hashtag BTB Radio on Twitter, and we'll answer your questions on the air.
Have you ever noticed this? When I'm concerned the most about a show and that we don't have enough content,
the show usually goes pretty well.
It goes really well.
Typically, those shows are the shows that go the best. Now, I still don't think that this has been our best show. For some reason or another, the Auburn show this year was a really good show.
It was a good show.
But, yeah.
It was a good show today as well.
This show's went well. And typically, you know.
And what did my text to you today go? I'm going to lean on you heavily.
Right, yeah, you did say that. And you told multiple people while we were here in the studio. But ultimately, I think it was just fine.
And then I just talked too much.
Well, no, I don't think you talk too much. You're the host of the show. The host gets to talk.
You're
the co-host.
Kind.
The co-host talks when the host pitches it to him, which is what I have a problem with.
You're a company guy.
Who is?
Jared.
I'm a company guy.
Yeah. You don't talk too much. You're the host of the show.
Well, listen to this. No, I say that because on 107.5, I am the host of the show, and I wouldn't want anybody to tell me that I talk too much. You know, so I try to, you know, toss them something every now and then, you know, pitch them a little
softball.
Meatball. Yeah, you know, but also I really enjoy doing the show by myself because then I can talk as much as I would like.
And you do talk a lot. I'm kidding.
No, typically I do talk quite a bit.
So the line Saturday, Western Kentucky, Louisiana Tech. Tech is favored 6.5, 7 on one book. So let's call it. We'll call it 6.5. Seems to be the general consensus. Opened at 3.
Right,
Tech's favorite.
It's moved quite a bit.
It's moved a lot. A lot of money being played on Tech. The over under opened at 72, went to 73.5, and is down to 70.5.
And Patrick, the producer of the post game call in show,
also known as Vegas, he used to be Vegas here on ESPN.
Is that right? He used to be Vegas. Okay. All right. Well, he made a comment that because Louisiana Tech has been so good against the points so far this year, that you will see these lines begin to fluctuate like that because people will be putting money on Louisiana Tech.
And that's what we saw this week.
Yeah, no doubt about it. This has been totally opposite of the UTSA game where the line just sat still. This game, the line has moved quite a bit and has doubled since it opened.
You've got your point prediction already in the bag.
Yes, absolutely. Coming into the show, actually, I had it already.
Boom! Let's hear it.
I was prepared this week. My point prediction is 42-27 Louisiana Tech. I think I'll go even one further, and I'll say that either at the end of the third quarter, or maybe the third quarter ends and Tech is in the red zone or something like that, and so it takes it into the beginning of the fourth quarter. I think it's 42 at that point to 20. And Western Kentucky will get a garbage time touchdown to make it 42-27.
We know that Vegas and our also our friends at MasseyRatings.com get better as the season goes on.
Oh, no doubt about
it. Their algorithms get better and better and better. Massey Ratings last week, most likely score 30-21.
Wow.
The median was 31-21. The actual, 31-20.
Wow.
That's sick.
Wow.
Those math nerds were all over it.
Massey is close. Very close.
So let's go to this week. They say 59% chance of Louisiana Tech winning. They pick 38-35. Right at the over-under.
Boy, that's really close to John's score that he's been mentioning. John,
go with it. Go with it.
I'm taking Tech 38-31. I agree with Jared.
He's also known as MasseyRatings.com.
I think Tech will enter the fourth quarter with about a two-touchdown lead, 14-17-point lead, someone there. Maybe give up a late score in garbage time.
If Tech gets to 32 points, they win.
Agreed.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. I think I don't think this team is going to score four touchdowns against Louisiana Tech, exactly like Rafe said, and I'm giving them 27. I don't think it's going to be four scores. I think Western Kentucky will have a hard time scoring on that defense.
I've been getting better with this whole score prediction thing, but I don't know where to go with this one. Let me toot my own horn. Let me go back and look at my matchups last week. I said 35-24 last week.
Close. Very close.
The point differential was exact. No, that wasn't. It was 2 points off. I'm not good at math, as you can tell. So, I'm really not sure this week, but I'm going to go, since I said that magic number of 32, but I think Tech scores more than 32. I think they're going to run the ball. They're going to have a lot of success running it, which means they won't score as many points.
Correct.
I'll go 35-24.
Is that the same as the Southern Miss score that you just said?
Is that exactly? It is.
35.
Yep, I did say 35-24.
35-24 is an 11-point differential, and Tech won 31-20.
So I was right.
So you were right. So you are bad at math because you just doubted yourself and said you were off by two. And then it turns out, no, you were right all along. 35-24 for 2 weeks in a row. You'll be close, no doubt about that.
For Jared King, co-hosting with me, co-host extraordinaire.
I'm a professional co-host, baby.
John on the ones and the twos. And the tunes were on the spot, on point tonight. I am Jay Ford, publisher of BleakTechBlue.com. Come check us out. 7-day free trial. Best insider information on Louisiana Tech anywhere. Come check us out. BleakTechBlue.com. For everybody, we'll see you back here next time. Same place, same time.